Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the ninth canto, 11th chapter, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. And we're going to start at 24, if I remember correctly. There are no more purports till the end of this chapter, then we'll begin the next chapter. So once we get to the first verse with the purport, we'll do that responsibly. In the meantime, I'll just read. Shri Raja Vacha Katam Sah Bhagavan Ramo Pratrin Vasayamatmanah Tasmin Vatain Vavartanta Prajak Porasya Ishpare. So who's speaking? Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, how did the Lord conduct himself and how did he behave in relationship with his brothers who were expansions of his own self? And how did his brothers and the inhabitants of Ayodhya treat him? 25. Shibadarayani Ravacha Atadisha Digvija. No, there's no purport yet. Yes? There is? Oh, you're right. Oh, just see. You are right. Okay. Shibadarayani Ravacha Atadisha Dig Vijaye Pratrings Tribhuvaneshwaraha Atmanam Darshayan Swanam Purim Aikshata Sanugaha. Sri Badarayana Ravacha Atadisha Dig Vijaye Bratrings Tribhuvaneshwaraha Atmanang Darshayan Swanam Purim Aikshata Sanugaha. Sri Badarayani Ravacha Atadisha Digvijaye Bratrings Tribhuvaneshwaraha Atmanang Dharshayan Swanam Purim Aikshata Sanugaha. Sri Badarayani Ravacha Atadisha Digvijaye Pratrings Tribhuvaneshwaraha Atmanang Darshayan Swanam Purim Aikshata Sanugaha. Please chant. Sri Badarayani Uvacha Atadisha Digvijaye Pratring Sri Bhuvaneshwaraha Atmanang Darshayan Sanam Purim Aikshata Sanagaha. Sri Badarayani Uvacha Atadisha Digvijaye Bratring Sri Bhuvaneshwaraha Atmanam Narsayan Sanam Purim Aikshata Sanagaha. Vaishnavis. Sri Badarayani Ravacha Atadisha Digvijaye Bratrings Tribhuvaneshwaraha Atmanam darsayan swanam purim aikshatasanagaha. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Atadisha Digvijaye Pratring Sri Bhuvaneshwaraha Atmanam Darshayan Sanam Purim Aikshatasanagaha. Okay, synonyms. Shri Badarayani Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Atta, hereafter, when the Lord accepted the throne on the request of Bharata, Adishat ordered Digvijaye to conquer all the worlds. Bratrin, his younger brothers, Tribhuvana Ishvaraha, the Lord of the universe, Atmanam, personally, himself, Darshayan, giving audience, Swanam, to the family members and the citizens, Purim, the city, Aikshata, supervised, Sa Anugaha, with other assistance. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Shukadeva Goswami replied, after accepting the throne of the government by the fervent request of his younger brother Bharata, Lord Ramachandra ordered his younger brothers to go out and conquer the entire world while he personally remained in the capital to give audience to all the citizens and residents of the palace and supervise the governmental affairs with his other assistants. Please repeat. Shukadev Goswami replied, after accepting the throne of the government, by the fervent request of his younger brother Bharata, Lord Ramachandra ordered his younger brothers to go out and conquer the entire world while he personally remained in the capital to give audience to all the citizens and residents of the palace and supervise the governmental affairs with his other assistants. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not allow any of his devotees or assistants to be engaged in sense gratification. The younger brothers of Lord Ramachandra were at home enjoying the personal presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord ordered them to go out and achieve victory all over the world. It was the custom, and this custom in some places is still current, that all other kings would have to accept the supremacy of the emperor. If the king of a small state did not accept the emperor's supremacy, there would be a fight, and the king of the small state would be obliged to accept the emperor as supreme. Otherwise, it would not be possible for the emperor to rule the country. Lord Ramachandra showed his favor to his brothers by ordering them to go out. Many of the Lord's devotees residing in Vrindavan have taken the vow not to leave Vrindavan to preach Krishna consciousness. But the Lord says that Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world, in every village and every town. This is the open order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivite Acha Yata Nagaradi Gram Sarvata Prachar Haibe Moranam. A pure devotee therefore must execute the order of the Lord and must not gratify his senses by remaining stagnant in one place, falsely proud, thinking that because he does not leave Vrindavan but chants in a solitary place, he has become a great devotee. A devotee must carry out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Every devotee, therefore, should spread Krishna consciousness by preaching, asking whomever he meets to accept the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This is the order of the Lord, who speaks as the supreme emperor. Everyone should be induced to accept this order, for this is victory, Digvijay, and it is a duty of the soldier, the devotee, to impress upon everyone this philosophy of life. Of course, those who are Kanishtha Adhikaris do not preach, but the Lord shows mercy to them also, as he did by staying personally in Ayodhya to give audience to the people in general. One should not mistakenly think that the Lord asked his younger brothers to leave Ayodhya because he especially favored the citizens. The Lord is merciful to everyone, and he knows how to show his favor to each individual person according to his capacity. One who abides by the order of the Lord is a pure devotee. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tadamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pashacha Deshtarane Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kopaturubhya Shakrifa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this age of Kali can also be called the age of upstarts. An upstart is a person who tries to fill a role that they're not qualified for. That's called an upstart. So this is the age of upstarts. From the very beginning, we know Parikshit Maharaj, when he was going on tour and he saw Kali personified, he was an upstart. He was in the garb of a king, but he was actually not even, he's outside of Nivarna and Ashram because he was trying to abuse cow and the bull, which nobody who's within the four varnas and four ashrams would do. So, an upstart. So this is the age of upstarts, up to and including the mantle or the seat of leadership has been misappropriated by persons who are not qualified. And every day it's driven home that they're not qualified. They take these positions of leadership all around the world, not just here in America, and they are not only misleading the citizens, they virtually eat the citizens. If the citizens don't agree to their ill-conceived plans, they literally kill them. You want me to leave? My father was the president, now I am the president, and you want me to leave? I kill you. Forget it. This is going on all over the world. I'm not just talking about Syria, where it's obvious there was formerly the father, Assad, and after he passed on, now the son took over, and most of the citizens, it seems, want him to go. He's not doing anything good there. And instead of leaving, he was gassing them. That's at least one thing the United States did in that country. He stopped them from gassing them, but he's still killing them in so many ways. But again, not to pick on one country. It's happening all over the world, where these misleaders, some or other by hook or crook, by vote or bribery or whatever, they get the position, and then they don't know what to do. So just like, what is it, yesterday or the day before, there was this killing at this college in Oregon. A guy went in there with six weapons and killed 10 and injured 20 or whatever and then killed himself, or he was killed by the police. And they're always, after every one of these incidents, they're wondering what to do. How can we prevent this from happening? Should we enact more gun laws? And one camp is saying, yes, more gun laws, restricted access to guns would help. And the other camp is saying, no, that won't make any difference. So in one sense, they're both right. In the ideal Vedic culture, it's not that everybody was armed. We don't hear that the coward boys were going into the forest carrying AK-47. They had their bugles and their sticks. So it's not that everybody in the Vedic culture is armed, but there has to be a certain section that is
armed and train how to use those arms and train in their personal habits also. In other words, they're supposed to be Raja and Rishi, rulers that have the mentality of Rishi. Not just that I'm armed and I know how to use the arms. Like Ashwatthama is one such example. He was on Duryodhana's side, and when he saw that Duryodhana was losing the battle, then he killed the 5 sleeping sons of the Pandavas, and then when Arjuna was chasing him, he released the Brahmastra to kill Arjuna. He tried to kill Parikshit in the womb. Just killing, 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 trying to kill. No guidance. So eventually he was arrested by Arjuna, who wanted to kill him. But as you know, because of Draupadi's compassion, he was not killed. They just defamed him and let him go. But the modern so-called leaders, they don't know what to do. After every one of these incidents, they're in the news, what to do, what to do. But Prabhupada told them what to do. When Prabhupada was on the planet, and it's very... I actually completely skipped over this purport. I was reading ahead and to the end of this chapter. But this is very appropriate for today. Today, as we know, is the anniversary of Prabhupada arriving in America in 1965. And as he's saying here in today's purport, that the Kanishtha Adhikaris, they sit down in a place like Vrindavan and they're chanting and they think that they become great devotees. But those who are actually advanced devotees take up the order of the Lord to go out and preach, not to be satisfied just to sit down in one place and chant. Now, that's not to say that there shouldn't be any Kanishtha Adhikaris. It's part of the program. You don't just jump from being a contaminated, materially contaminated soul to becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. It doesn't happen. There's a gradual continuum. First, you become convinced to take up the process of Krishna consciousness, which means you start out as a Kanishtha Adhikari, and then gradually, with training and example, one becomes a Madhyama Adhikari, and then gradually, one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. It's not a jumping type of thing or an instantaneous type of thing. So we don't make fun of Kanishtha Adhikaris. One has to start somewhere. But those Kanishthas who are presenting themselves as being the pinnacle because they're sitting down in one place and chanting, or they're taking vow of silence, Prabhupada would make fun of them also sometimes. You know, they're taking this mona vrata. Yes, it's better to be silent than to talk nonsense. Or he would make fun of those who say, they don't touch money. Oh, I don't touch money. Prabhupada said, give me the money, give me. Because he knows what to do with it. So there are all these different stages where people think that they've become the best because they're not speaking. But at the same time, they're writing everything on paper. What's the difference? You won't speak, but you write, give me a chapati. Or so it's nonsense. It's foolish. They're not fully evolved. So Prabhupada represented or is the fully evolved devotee, showing by his example exactly what to do and what not to do. So he would tell them when they would inquire, like that conversation with Lieutenant Mosey, crime, why, and what to do. Prabhupada said, yes, we know what to do. Give us the facility to introduce on a large scale this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And distribution of prasadam. Now, to the overly complex modern mind, this seems too simplistic. Yes? Just give you facility to make people chant Hare Krishna and take Krishna prasad. Yes! Because they're coming in contact with Krishna, the Supreme Pure Personality of Godhead. And anyone who comes in contact with Krishna in any way, shape, or form becomes purified. Krishna can never be contaminated. Nor can Krishna's name be contaminated. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Chaitanya Rasa Vigaha. Purna. Shuddha, Nitya Mukta, Abhinatvam, Nama Namana. The name of Krishna is none different from Krishna himself. It is complete. There's nothing else required. Again, the overly complex material mind thinking, yeah, okay, this chanting may not be bad, at least it keeps them out of trouble, but there must be something. No, it is complete because it is non different from Krishna. Everything required is there in the name. It is Shuddha. It is completely pure. When you come in contact with Krishna, you become purified. Prabhupada would give so many examples. He would say that even if you would say that the gopis approach Krishna with lusty desires, but by coming in contact with Krishna, that lust becomes transformed into pure love. So they're confused what to do about this crime, this tendency of people to go off and kill, because they are contaminated. People don't understand that. They think just because somebody's born and they have 2 nice arms and 2 nice legs and both eyes are there. In other words, because the physical package looks all right, they think everything is all right. But there's a subtle body also. It's not just the external gross body. There's a subtle body. And that subtle body, from lifetime after lifetime, is completely materially saturated, completely materially contaminated. And that material contamination represents different combinations of the modes of nature. And I've used the example many times, but each unique combination of the mode of nature is like a unique radio station. And you know, if you tune in to a particular radio station and you listen to that station day after day, you're going to start thinking like that. Guaranteed. If you tune in to Republican talk radio every day, you're going to think like a Republican. It's guaranteed. If you tune into the lowest moded out heavy acid rock station every day, you're going to start thinking like that. It just, the songs that you hear, it's going to affect your consciousness. And some of them can be very gross, as we know. You know, got my gun and I'm going to kill that, you know, like that. You listen to that stuff every day, you're going to be affected by that. So the modes of nature are like that. It's like tuning into a particular heavy radio station. You can tune into the, you know, the Philharmonic, you know, and you're affected in that way. Or you can tune into the kind of, you know, elevator music, Muzak stuff that you hear in my office. And you start thinking like that. Or you, like I said, you can tune into the deepest, darkest, molded out kind of stuff, and that's how you're going to think. And this is what's happening to people. They think that they're thinking, but they're actually tuning into a particular thought station. And those thoughts are coming incessantly, telling you what to do, who to like, who to hate. And they just develop like that. And unfortunately, even the religious leaders don't point them in the right direction. I was appalled. A few days ago, somebody put up something about how they... A devotee on Facebook put up something about how they like the Pope. He's such a nice guy. So Ratnabhushana wrote, very appropriately, that, yeah, he may be a nice guy, but last night he ate lamb for dinner. Some poor young animal didn't get a chance to be completely reared by their mother, was ripped away and slaughtered, and he was eating that. And the devotee wrote back, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything. I was shocked. But Prabhupada didn't let them off the hook. Whenever he got into a conversation with these so-called religious leaders, he made them understand that they didn't know anything. They did not know anything. He would tackle them on this business of meat eating. He would not let them go any further. They would want to, oh, but can't we talk about something higher? No. Why are you slaughtering the animals? But the children have to eat. The children. No. Why are you slaughtering the animals? Prabhupada wouldn't let them off the hook. And then when they came here to speak philosophy, Prabhupada let them know. He said, do you know who is God? And they would say, no. He said, then you're not a theologian. A theologian is somebody who knows. The suffix L-O-G-Y means science. Biology, zoology, it means science. So if you say you're a theologian, it means that you should know theos. Theos means God. You should know who's God. If you don't know, then you're a theosophist. You're still searching. Why are you presenting yourself as a theologian, somebody who knows? Prabhupada would not let them off the hook. So we should not be overly sentimental. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the popular modern sentiment. Oh, he's such a nice guy because he's, you know, he's into the poor and he doesn't want this. One of the things that he said, and there was this woman on death row who's been killed, by the way. He didn't want her to be killed. He said, all life is sacred. He said, yeah, we agree. All life is sacred. Why don't you extend that to that lamb that you ate? He didn't say, and I heard him say this. This is on YouTube. There was a clip. I saw it. He said, all life is sacred. His very words. He didn't say all human life is sacred. He said, all life is sacred. Because he wanted them to not execute this woman who was on death row. But so confused. He doesn't realize that means all life. All life. All animals, all plants, all life is sacred. Not just all human beings. So Prabhupada would not let him off the hook. He would, on this very point also, so many times you can see in the Vedabase, Prabhupada said, thou shalt not kill doesn't mean thou shalt not kill only human. Otherwise it would have said, thou shalt not murder. It said, thou shalt not kill. So yes, we give them credit for having nice sentiment towards the poor and the disenfranchised. But this is not what religious and spiritual organizations are meant for. Maybe at some point in time or someplace there were no social organizations. But now there's so many social organizations internationally. Doctors Without Borders, Red Cross, this cross, Yellow Cross, whatever. So many organizations for taking care of the poor and this and that. This is not what religious organizations are meant for. The religious organization is meant for teaching people the real understanding of what is spirit, what is matter, and who is the source of both. That on a very, very fundamental level. That's what spiritual organizations should do. And because they don't know themselves, they can't teach. They don't know the difference between matter and spirit. They don't know how to make the final, ultimate solution to the problems of life. How to go back to home, back to Godhead. And therefore, inevitably, they get involved in social work. Just like Prabhupada said about these Mayavadis who apparently, you know, Brahma Satya, Jagan Mithya, the material world is false, Brahman is real, and therefore they want to merge into Brahman. But because there's no satisfaction there. Arura Krishna Param Patamtata, Patantyada. Anadita Yusmadangriya. They don't have any regard for the lotus feet of Krishna, for devotional service, in other words, and therefore they come down again and get into politics and building schools and hospitals. And this is exactly what a lot of these modern religious organizations do. They don't know how to engage in devotional service, but they have to do something. So naturally, let's feed the poor, let's give them. But as Prabhupada would say, this is like, you know, saving the clothes of a drowning man. Or you go crossing the ocean, you see somebody drowning, you pick them up, you give them a meal, some fresh clothes, and throw them back in the ocean. What's the use? What's the use? For 2 minutes, maybe they felt some relief, and they're thanking you, oh, you're such a nice person, but then you throw them back in the ocean. So that's not what religious organizations or spiritual organizations are meant for. We're meant for giving the final solution, as Prabhupada is saying here in this prayer for today. Go out and preach. Go out and preach. That's what we are meant for. But I'm not a big... You don't have to be a big, big preacher. Just repeat what you've heard. Just repeat what you've heard. Krishna says, surrender to me. So we go out and tell everybody, surrender to Krishna. We don't say surrender to us. Surrender to Krishna. But how to do it? Chant Hare Krishna. Take Krishna Prasadam. Worship the deity. Everything is very clear. Prabhupada has given extremely clear instructions. This is what attracted me. After being... From childhood, searching through so many different religious, spiritual paths and being totally confused or misled, finally I came across somebody who made everything extremely clear. You want to be happy, this is the way to be happy. You're a spirit soul, eternally existing. Never was there a time when you did not exist. You're existing now and you will continue to exist in the future. Otherwise, like my poor mother, she's visiting this weekend. She considered herself a very religious person her whole life. She's been going to church. But now she's 85, the body's falling apart. Literally every time I see her, she's saying, I'm praying to the Lord, take me. I'm tired of all this pain. I'm tired of all this pain. Because she's still thinking, unfortunately, that she is that body, that 85-year-old body, which she's not. So if we take to a bona fide spiritual path, we should gradually come to the point of being self-realized. Where you know for a fact that you're not this body. And therefore you're not affected anymore by the vagaries of the material existence. The ups, inevitable ups and downs of physical existence. They're going to be there, like Krishna told Arjuna. These things are going to be there. Matra sparsha sukhoteya. Sitoshya sukadukada. Agama paino nityas. Tang stitiksha bharata. You have to tolerate them. But it's not that the pure devotees are gritting their teeth and tolerating. No, they're not even feeling it. Prabhupada said, for a pure devotee, existing in the material world is like a drunk person. They don't know if they're clothed or they're not clothed. Or, you know, a drunk person, they don't know if they have clothes on or not. They're just like drunk, out of it. So for a pure devotee, it's like that. Being in the material world, they're not even most of the time aware of what's going on physically. Because they're totally detached from the physical plane. That doesn't mean that we should mistreat them. Just like when Prabhupada went to Kumbh Mela, he said, I'm an old man, you should at least have some hot water for me. So we should think like that. We should think the spiritual master should be taken care of. Not that oh, he's so advanced, he doesn't need food, he doesn't need clothes, he doesn't need... No, not like that. But internally, we should know that they're not just gritting their teeth and bearing the pains of this mature world. They're completely aloof from it. Completely aloof. Prabhupada said, it's like a drunk person. They don't know whether they have clothes on or not. They're just completely aloof. So the pure devotee is like that, completely aloof to what is going on in the material platform. They're not affected. It's stated in the Nectar Devotion. One of the six items of becoming a pure devotee is that you are totally detached from the material miseries. Pure devotion totally detaches one from the miseries of the material world. So this should be incentive for us to want to become pure devotees. This is the incentive. Miseries of the material world are there. We all know as we get older, this is hurting, that is hurting, like my poor mother again, everything is hurting. But the devotee doesn't become absorbed in that. We don't become absorbed in the bodily pains or pleasures, as he said in the purport today. The followers of Lord Ramachandra are forbidden from sense gratification. We don't become absorbed in the pains and pleasures of this material world. If we're tasting the sweetness, the joy of devotional service, when we actually engage in devotional service in right consciousness, we experience a much higher taste, a much higher taste, we know. Like going out on Harinam today, I'm sure within a few minutes you become so absorbed in chanting, you completely forget that you're in Venice Beach and what you're wearing and who's wearing what, and you don't care. You just become uplifted by the chanting of Hare Krishna. So this is what we have to offer. It's again, it's an open secret. This is what we have to offer the world. Not that we've come up with it. It's not a new process. It's been going on since time immemorial, but it's been specifically recommended for this age where everybody's an upstart, thinking themselves to be something that they're not, thinking themselves to be this body and therefore completely absorbed in bodily consciousness, trying always to satisfy the body, which is not possible. So we have the solution. Chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, worship the deity, listen to this philosophy, and you will see gradually you will become detached from this material realm. Now, I got a newsletter that's a little bit disturbing. There's an organization in India, a devotee-run organization, AFCAP. And they did a survey, because many people still mistakenly think that India is a vegetarian country. But according to this recent survey, I should call it up because I actually have it on the computer. Yeah. It says, the findings show that only 31% of Indians are vegetarians. Oh, the TV went off. Only 31%. Where's Maninath? Can you turn it back on? Only 31%. 21% for families with all vegetarian members. Very, very disturbing. Another 9% of the population is egetarian, or vegetarians who eat eggs also. Women are more likely to be vegetarian than men, and so are those above the age of 55. And it goes on. It gives a very, very interesting breakdown. Like if you don't, I can send it to you if anybody's interested. But this is one of the things that is a byproduct of Prabhupada's preaching. Everywhere that the Krishna consciousness movement has become firmly established, like here in America, naturally vegetarianism goes up. But the homeland is going in the opposite direction. So you see proper strategy. Convince the Westerners first, and then the Indians will imitate. The Indians will imitate. And it goes on and on. I don't want to bore you with all the numbers if you're interested in reading, but even amongst those who are vegetarian, they're not doing it for spiritual reasons. It's just kind of a cultural thing. My grandmother was vegetarian, my great-grandmother's vegetarian, therefore I'm vegetarian. It has nothing to do with understanding that the animal has a soul and like that. So there's a lot of work to be done, Prabhus. We have to, first of all, convince ourselves not to be swayed, to stick to this course that Prabhupada has given us. And then gradually we can have effect on the rest of the society. And it doesn't mean, again, that everybody has to take sannyas, everybody has to be a leader. No. Everybody has the responsibility to allow Prabhupada to preach to you, first of all. Because if you don't hear the preaching, then what are you going to repeat? So our first duty is to allow Srila Prabhupada to preach to us. That means reading his books, listening to his lectures, And if we do that, guaranteed we will be transformed. You cannot hear Prabhupada and not be transformed. It's just not possible. It's just like last Sunday's lecture. It was so powerful. Everybody was like leaving here amazed. Prabhupada was explaining his mentality when he arrived, how he actually quoted from his poet, Markin in Bhagavata Dharma. He quoted from that poem about how he was thinking that they're so absorbed in the modes of ignorance and passion. How will they have any attraction for the message of Vasudeva? That was Prabhupada's thought. So, every one of us is responsible. This is something that nobody can take away from you. Nobody can prevent you from reading Prabhupada's books. Nobody can prevent you from hearing Prabhupada's lectures. You don't need permission. You don't have to go to Savas and say, can I now take an hour to listen to? No, you don't need that. Sit down, listen to Prabhupada's lectures. Read Prabhupada's books. And if we do that, we inevitably become fired up to repeat what we've heard. Just like we all walk out of here every Sunday fired up when we hear Prabhupada's lectures. They're amazing. Everybody was shaking their head last Sunday, isn't it? I'm not making it up. Everybody was like, whoa, what a lecture. So it's like that. If you just listen to Prabhupada's lectures regularly, read Prabhupada's books, you become fired up to repeat what you've heard. You can't avoid it. Can't avoid it. And then we will gradually have a positive effect on the society at large. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments?
It's interesting that vegetarianism is increasing in America. It's decreasing in India.
Yeah.
Another thing is that the Bible now, the latest translations of the Bible, they're putting in, thou shalt not murder, to justify their...
Yeah, because they've been cornered for decades by the original wording, which is... But, you know, in India, again, because it's not attached to spirituality, then the profit motive takes over. I can give an example from right here in our community. There's a family here, not to name the family name, but, you know, the whole family is vegetarian except for this one son who decided to go into the fast food business. So he started out all vegetarian. You know, he has stands in the airport and different places, and in the beginning it was all vegetarian. But because of the fact, as you can see, that most Indians are not vegetarian, he was feeling the pinch. So for the profit motive, he started selling chicken sandwiches. You see? Even though the parents expressed that they were not satisfied, still, for the profit motive, he started doing that. So, yes, Surya Prabhu.
They did a survey in Japan, and there's about 20,000 vegetarians in the country, and 6 vegetarian, totally vegetarian restaurants. 20,000 people represents 0.02% of the Japanese population, which means 99.98% is non-vegetarian.
And this is the main problem in the world. We say that the collective karma of this planet is really horrendous because of all the wanton slaughter of innocent animals. And that karma has to go somewhere, and that's why. Drought, famine, earthquakes, tsunamis, all these things are happening primarily because of that. Because if you've evolved to the human platform, you have enough brain power to understand that it's not necessary to kill animals. So many examples of people who subsist nicely on a vegetarian diet, but still you go ahead and kill, and then you're going to get the reaction heavily. Okay.
Today is 24-hour kirtan, as Savas Prabhu mentioned this morning. And there are still, unbelievably, slots that are opened, especially from midnight to 4 in the morning. And also right now, from 8:30 to 9, so some devotees, whoever you are, just start chanting.
Hare Krishna. Jai Granth Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
you to do. You have some human. You know, I realize that whenever a country becomes strong, very strong, then that country tends to go out and conquer some other countries. It seems that the human being, you know, is having some nature, some characteristic of Lord Rama's family. Lord Rama's family sent his brothers to conquer the world.
You know, we are like sample beings. So whatever tendencies are there in God, we have them 90 degrees. So God has this natural tendency to conquer, so we have that tendency.
Yes, yes. I got the. Thank you so much for the conversation.